Well, today's scripture is in Haggai, the book of Haggai, and the theme or the title is Putting God First. Now, whenever we, the lesson starts off by disagreeing that you should never, we're not just putting God first, we're putting God at the center. Well, you know, I think that's splitting hairs, God is at the center of all that we do, meaning that we're constantly looking for God's purpose and God's plan in all the stuff, you know, because we're always going to have things that go wrong. We're always going to have things that we can't figure out why they happen. We don't think they ever should happen. And I was remembering one individual was talking about how that the Holocaust and how that Hitler was trying to destroy, the Jewish people, but the good that came out of that horribleness, if we could call it, you know, think of something being good that was so bad, that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, went back to Israel, and Israel became a nation in 1948. So it's 4 years after the war. They created a homeland for the nation of Israel. And so from that, all of the people from all Jewish individuals from all over the world came back to Jerusalem, and they're still going back to Jerusalem, still going back to Israel. And probably the motivating factor was that of what happened in the Holocaust. But putting God first is the idea that we want to put that God is involved in all of our commitments. God is at the center of what we are looking at. And so, you know, the scripture says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What we're doing is we're looking for the good. God is at the center of what we think, what we believe, what our plans are, where we're going with our future. We believe that God is involved in all of that. So in our giving thanks, we're saying that God is involved in all of this. And so we're looking for God to be there. So full commitment to God means to we honor him with our time, our talents, and our resources. Church attendance and worship of God are not secondary. Our financial support of our church and its ministries is not optional. Spending time in service and or ministry must not be relegated to the professional clergy. Every Christian is a worshiper and every Christian is a servant. So we find ourselves involved in the ministry that God has called us to do, and in the process, we are believing that God will honor that. Now, Haggai is trying to get the people of Israel. They've returned from the Babylonian captivity, and he's trying to get them to be involved in the rebuilding of the temple and in the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, but primarily in the, you know, and bringing them back to their worship of God. Well, the commentary talks about in Luke when Jesus says that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So we are seeking to do the will of God, and we want the will of God to be accomplished in our lives, and so we're always, as it were, looking for God's will to be accomplished. No matter what we're doing, no matter where we're going, we're believing that God is at work in all of these things. The last one here says, after they settled in the promised land, they were tempted to forget God. The Lord had warned them that when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore for to your fathers, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. So, you know, God had given them this land of promise, and the land of promise, they went in and conquered, and the cities and the vineyards and everything's already planted, and so he has them there. And whenever they're in those lands and in those places, they're not to forget that God gave them God gave those to them. So the parallel is in our life that where we live, what we, you know, we're perhaps living in a house we didn't build. We are harvesting, eating the crops that we did not grow, you know, that God has blessed us. Well, in Haggai, I thought I would read, I would have the Bible, the audio Bible, read the text, because there's a lot between the verses and between the sections. Even though the book of Haggai is not that long, it just helps, I think, to have the material before the text that we have printed and after the text we have printed. So a couple of things going on here is the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai in the second year of Darius, king of Persia, which placed Haggai in a post-exile. He has come to Israel after they have come back from the Babylonian captivity, and they are in the city of Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas. They're coming back from Babylon, trying to repopulate and resettle the country. So it talks about the different prophets and when they were, you know, the years that they were prophesying. And it's interesting that, you know, I remember thinking that you have all these different prophets and they're all writing, you know, my gosh, you know, they must have had a prophet for, you know, all the whole centuries that they lived in. But Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah began their ministry before the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. That's about 721 BC. Then we have Jeremiah, Joel, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. They were about 587, so 721, 587. Then we have the Babylonian captivity, which is Daniel and Ezekiel. And then we have 536 BC, so we're continuing on down. Cyrus the Persian conquered Babylon and allowed the captives from Judah to return to Jerusalem, and that was in 536. And then Haggai and Zechariah are about 520. So we see how that the prophets, some of them are contemporaries, meaning that they all spoke and were to the nation of Israel or to Judah, or they were, you know, pastors of regions, prophets of regions, trying to get and keep the children of Israel on the right path. In Ezekiel, remember the old dry bones? You know, the old, do you believe that these valley of bones can live? Well, that prophecy was about the nation, the people of Israel, coming back. So do you believe that the people of Israel can come back, the Jewish people can come back and inhabit the land? And can these bones, these dry bones, live again? So that's what that prophecy is about. So among the first exiles to return are Judah, to return to Judah were Zerubbabel, who the governor, and Joshua, the high priest. Now this isn't Joshua that was with Moses. This is another Joshua. So Zerubbabel, and he's the governor, and he is a grandson or great-grandson of King David. He's of the descendants of David. And so he's kind of he's the governor. He's the leader of the region. And Joshua is the priest who's to head up the rebuilding of the temple. All right, so we're going to read Haggai chapter 1.
The prophet Haggai.
Haggai.
In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to
Okay, so we got these guys showing up, and they are in charge. And what they're doing is verse 4, which is in our printed text. The people are saying, is it time for you, O ye who to dwell in your city, sealed houses, and this houses lie waste? What it's saying is that the people from Babylon have come back to Jerusalem, and they're saying, you know what, it's not time yet to rebuild the temple. Okay? So we're not going to rebuild the temple just yet. So we got to have houses to live in. Well, the wood that Darius had given, the Persian king had given for them to bring back and rebuild the temple, well, you know, they need to build their houses, and what are you going to use? We're going to use the wood that was for the temple. We're going to use it in our houses. And so it talks about wood paneling. You know, remember when everybody had paneled their houses in wood? Well, these guys were the first wood panelers mentioned in the Bible. They took all the wood that was designated for the temple, and they were building their houses, and they're saying, you know, we're going to get to that building God's house pretty soon, but not just yet. All right. See what else we got here. So then of course God has an objection to this.
Build the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains
paneled houses?
Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways.
So give careful thought to your ways, or consider your ways. All right. Now, the prophet is saying, okay, you've moved back here and you've taken the wood that was designated for the temple, and you're building your own houses. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but what's going on is they've forgotten about building the temple. All right. And the scripture is saying, consider your ways. Now, what he's doing here is he's getting them to consider what they've been doing. Okay? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Okay.
You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord.
So God tells them, all right, you consider your ways. What does it say here? Sown much, and yet you reap little. So God is telling them that, you know, your harvest, you were expecting a harvest, but it didn't come. And he's tying this to, wireless network are we? Xfinity Wi-Fi? Connect it. All right. So it doesn't draw. It's easier to connect with the church's Wi-Fi than to try and bring it in from someplace else. Anyhow, he's telling them to look at what they've been doing. Look at how that they've been sowing and not getting anything. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You're clothed, but you're not warm. And you earn wages that like putting in a bag with holes. So it's like inflation is overtaking them, and no matter what they make, it's not enough to buy. It's, you know, everything is going in a backward direction. Their casual attitude toward the spiritual matters had brought about a series of consequences that affected their lives and the lives of the people in Jerusalem economically and spiritually. So there were five things that happened here. This was the sown much and reap little, eat, never satisfied, drink, but not enough, and they put on their clothes and they're not warm. So the Lord says, consider your ways. All right, consider what you're doing. So we'll go on.
You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house.
So he's telling them, you planted, but I blew it away. you know, because my house is a ruin, and you haven't considered to my ways. Now, one of the things is that the people who have returned to Jerusalem, they've been surviving in Babylon for 70 years. Some of them were born there, probably most of them were born in Babylon, and they really had no idea of the temple, of the sacrifices, and, you know, perhaps they just heard stories about the former temple, and, you know, and their parents and grandparents were talking about, you know, going back, and they longed to be back in their homeland and build the temple and reinstate their worship of God. But these people who are here, generally, they've been getting along without God pretty good, you know. So that's why I think it's important for us to, for ourselves and for our children and grandchildren, you know, for our friends that don't know God, to how are they going to hear if they don't, they look at their life and it's perhaps a disaster. They have lots of stuff, but nothing on the inside, you know, that they're missing God. And we need to recognize that whenever we are placing God in a position of being the one that we are at the center of everything, that God will bless what we do. And that's what happens as we continue through the lesson. We find out how God then doesn't blow on it and, you know, blows it away. He rained in the due season and the crops were moldy and, you know, just to all these things happened to keep them reaping a harvest and doing better. They were failing because they had left God out of their life.
Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel,
So everything that they labored under, everything that they were trying to accomplish, wasn't getting done. You know, it was a very frustrating part, very frustrating time of their life, and what they were expecting wasn't happening. All right. Then verse 12. We'll let it read here.
Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God.
So this is where things begin to change. That they saw the struggle that they were having, and they were not getting ahead. So they decided to obey what God was telling them through the prophet. So the prophet's declaring to them the message of God, and they decide that, okay, let's obey what God is saying, and we'll see what happens.
And the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius.
Okay, so what we have here is God stirred their hearts. And they heard the message. They began to see how they were leaving God out of their plans, and how that, you know, they were really discontent with everything. They had taken the things that God had provided for them, and yet it was going nowhere. It was as if they had nothing. And it's interesting, I think, that he gives the dates in the second year of this and on the 24th day of this month. So it's like, this isn't just campfire talk. Sitting around, I remember 27 years ago, it was the prophet wrote the message and how that the people, God had brought them back from their captivity. Now, see, you think about how that when you look at the nation of Israel, when you look at how that God stayed with them, and how that things aren't, it's not a pie in the sky thing, everything goes wonderful, you know, it's people failing and falling and, you know, turning back to God and listening to God and serving God, then people falling away and people, you know, there's this whole scenario of what happens in the nation of Israel. And you see how that God always sent someone to stir the hearts of the people. He always sent his word to heal them, to restore them. So God dealing with Israel, think about ourselves and how that God deals with us, that, you know, his objective is always to bring us in, bring us to the place where God, where we can be receptive of his blessing, and that where what we are doing prospers, and, you know, we're not putting things in a bag with holes in it, you know. We have, things are going well for us because we believe that God is in charge and not the economy and not the stock market and everything else. God is in charge, and so we are believing that he will then bless us because we are faithful to what he has done. We're being obedient. Thoughts before we go to chapter 2? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Remember the former things of old. Remember what God has done in the past. But in the remembering, it isn't that we're not trying to recreate what he did. We are remembering that God did this in the past, and if he's done that in the past, he will do something new in the future. So that our expectation is not on recreating, but on allowing God to create the new things, the new year, the new opportunities that are before us. So then in chapter 2, we'll read that. Maybe. Shut it off, turn it on. Well, I pushed the button. Turn it off. What's that?
Battery.
No, battery's not dead. It's just kind of froze up on, I think, being connected to the wire, the system within the church. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Wreck-It Ralph. So anyhow, Haggai, he try that one now. Oh well. In the second chapter, verse 4, it says, "Now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work." So the challenge goes over what happens. That God goes from questioning their motives and questioning, "Now consider your ways, look at this, what you've done, you've sown and reaped, not you've sown much, reaped little, all those types of things. But now God goes from bringing those questions up to bringing in commands. Now, one of the things is that when God commands, his word shall not return void, that God will bring about what he says, what he commands. So three times the Lord says, "Be strong." So the challenge is that the people are to look beyond the failures that they've encountered, to look beyond trying to build their houses and with wood paneling, look beyond that and start building the temple. So you can't go back and undo yesterday. You can't go back and fix what was broken before. We have to let it go and move on. And the idea of moving on is, in this case, it's building the temple. They had, it was somewhere in here, it talked about how that they had come and they had kind of cleared off an area where the temple was. They had, when the Babylonians came in, they destroyed everything. And they had rebuilt the temple. And where the temple was, they kind of cleared off an area, but just to perhaps erect an altar. But they really didn't know what they were doing. They hadn't seen one. They didn't. I guess they just built a small altar, but they hadn't done anything with it. They hadn't reinstituted the sacrifices. They hadn't obeyed the laws, read the laws. They haven't done any of that. So God now is telling them, okay, be strong. Do the things that I command you to do and allow them to work in your life. Be strong. However, a new aspect of God's commitment is revealed when he says, according to the word that I covenant with you when I came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. So God, or using the prophet, is telling them, you are a covenant people. I have made an agreement with you and with your forefathers that I'm going to work in your life. You're a covenant people. Now, as you obey my commandments, I will then fulfill the covenant that I made with your forefathers. So, in our setting, we are a covenant people. God has made a covenant agreement with us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has given us a covenant that says, be strong in the Lord, and that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So we're turning things over to God that we've been struggling with. We are resting in God's promises. So the covenant that God has established with us is what we have in the New Testament. And it's for all Christians, for all believers. So whenever we are remembering the word that God has given to us in the New Testament, in the new covenant, in the new covenant that God has brought about, he is telling us that these are the things he will do. And when he's telling the children of Israel who have returned here to Jerusalem and to Israel to rebuild, he tells them, be strong in what you're going to do. So be strong in what you're going to do is you don't give up. You don't quit halfway through. You continue to do and build what God has already told you to. So I like that. You don't quit. Unless it's Sunday and, you have other problems. Yeah, okay. You have other excuses. Well, it was supposed to be sunny today and it's not, so we have a lot of excuses. But do we see this? For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Okay, so when your ancestors came out of Egypt, I made an agreement with them. Now, the covenant that God has created, God has made, is not dependent. Okay, well, this is one of those. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then God says, I will come, I will heal their land, I will do all these things. So God has made a covenant that is conditional. Okay, there are covenants that God makes that are an unconditional covenant. If you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is a covenant agreement that cannot be broken. You confess, you're forgiven. Well, what if people don't do it right? Yeah, okay. So any questions as I try to bring up the rest of this? Unable to load dashboard. Terry, I need your help. That's it. I got Matthew here. I don't want Matthew. We're in what? Haggai?
Sure.
I should have went to Haggai too. See if you can get that to work. All right, so verses 6 through 9 of chapter 2 are not in this. The Lord begins in these chapters, in these verses, which I'm unable to have read. God speaks about a little while, okay? A little while. Now, a little while in our time is about 15 minutes from now. Oh, it's almost time for me to be done. So, in a little while. But.
Okay, there's the text.
Well.
How do you get to where you can play it?
Oh, I don't know. It's one of those little doodads.
A doodad?
Yeah. There's no time left. I'll just jump through the end here. Boy, where did I? Okay, yeah. So then we go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh." So what happens here is that he's talking about how that the defilement and how that contamination goes on. Okay, see what happens.
Haggai 2. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts."
Now, according to the one of the things is, work knowing that I am with you. Sometimes we think, God is with me, I don't need to do anything. But he says, work, for I'm with you.
I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying,
verse 11.
If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai, and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat, or to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew.
See what has happened? That you went to draw 20 things of oil, and there's only 10. You went to get all this grain, and it was all moldy and mildewed. You know, God says, I did that. Because you were unfaithful, because you had stopped doing what you were supposed to.
Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet?
So consider it from the very now, since you started laying the foundation of the temple, mark that day, because that's the day everything changes. You see, and so when we look at things, we have a tendency to say, well, you know, nothing has really changed. It's the same as yesterday, da, 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 da. But whenever there is a marked day, there is a marked change, there is a marked, God, this, I've come to the end of my rope here. This is yours. Take care of it. Mark the day, mark the time, and watch it change. All the gold and the silver belong to God.
In the barn, yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith.
I have chosen you. All right? We're almost done. Oh, it is done.
The Lord of hosts.
That's it. So, we see what the prophet has done as you go through that, go through those two chapters.
Zechariah, chapter 1.
Shh. I'm finished with you. So we see what happens. In the day that you change, God has promised to bless, and then we have to go and work, and that God will honor the work, and that he will bless it, and that's what the book is. Put God number one, and he says to the prophet, and these are the people already in Jerusalem. These are the ones that, you know, you think about it, the Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonians. The Babylonians were the biggest empire going, and they brought Israel captive to Babylon. Well, now the Medes and the Persians have conquered Babylon and sent, allowed the remnant, the Jewish people, to return to Israel. God has changed things. So things always change. Mark the commitment, mark the day, and recognize God has changed. Amen? Yes, thank you very much. God, thank you. Thank you for your word, and that thus saith the Lord, that is the day that we give and the day that we dedicate to you and the day that we open our hearts and minds. And Lord, we use this moment to say thank you. And God bless, and God take this which was impossible in our eyes and our hands, and God bless it, for it is your covenant and your agreement that you make with us, your people. Amen. Amen.